Hello, friends. It's your old pal, Aria Helwani, back with another exciting episode of DC and Helwani. We got so much to talk about this week, from RDA versus Felder to UFC 255 coming up this weekend and everything in between. But first, I want to tell you about a very special podcast that I personally can't wait to listen to, and I think you'll enjoy as well. It's the Woj Pod, and today my man Adrian Wojnarowski, of course, the legend, the GOAT of all things ESPN NBA, has released a three-part series about the discovery of the one and only Giannis Antetokounmpo. Yes, the two-time NBA MVP of the Milwaukee Bucks. It's an amazing story featuring all sorts of twists and turns that led up to the drafting of Giannis back in 2013. In this new series, Woj speaks to scouts, executives, agents, and even Giannis himself about the craziest draft story you'll ever hear. On top of that, if you don't care about any of this, you'll probably want to know and support it because my man TST produced this podcast. Yes, so go check it out. That's even more reason to listen to it. Again, it's a three-part series entitled The Giannis Draft, and you can find it by searching for the Woj Pod wherever you find your favorite podcasts. All right, on to today's show. And as always, listener discretion is advised. Enjoy.
Now making their way to the microphone, DC and Helwani.
Remember, I ended up getting the Carl's Jr.'s mom.
You did. Oh, yeah, that's right.
We had a rivalry built on fast food. It gets no better.
Here's Daniel Cormier and Ariel Helwani.
Back in your life on this third week of November 2020. Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to a brand new edition of DC and Helwani. I don't know what's going on over there. DC looking a little down. That's DC, Daniel Cormier. I'm Helwani, Ariel Helwani. DC, my man. Why so blue?
And it's Monday, you know, and usually I find a lot of joy coming into this when both of our teams win on Sunday, but, you know, my team won and I can find no joy in winning our sixth game in a row whenever you guys lost on what might have been the most amazing play I have seen in multiple years in the NFL. And I just feel down. I don't feel like I'm in a celebratory mood.
Yeah.
Even though we have now proven that we are the best team in football. And but watching you guys, you know, watching those hard luck Bills, you know, the way the bad luck just follows them, it really has put me in a somber mood for you. I don't know how you showed up to work, you know, under the circumstances.
Okay, enough already.
I texted you with 11 seconds to go, and yes, you guys had scored to go ahead, and you seemed so arrogant and confident.
I was not arrogant. I'm never arrogant.
You were very arrogant. 8-2.
I never said that. The difference between you and me is you take pride and joy in my team and, more importantly, myself, suffering, having a bad Sunday.
So me sitting here sad, feeling for you.
I couldn't move from my couch. I was frozen for 45 minutes. I could not move. I have never experienced that range of emotions, like pure happiness, excitement, jubilation, and then it all turned to heartbreak within a span of 2 minutes. I've never experienced that kind of range in such a short amount of time.
That's what happened with Daniel and me at the Minnesota Miracle. So you know now what I felt like whenever that dude caught that long pass. Ariel?
It was heartbreaking. It was actually painful. I woke up in the middle of the night at 2:30 a.m. I opened my phone. I went on Twitter. I watched it just to see if it was real. And I swear to God, I could not go to sleep for 2 hours. I'm exhausted right now because of that. I'm exhausted because of that play.
The thing about heartbreak from your team, it lives with you. It lives with
my soul. And then I see everyone on social media saying, greatest catch ever.
It literally batted it down. That's why I've been so down and out, because it literally was probably the best play in the NFL in years.
The problem is he cheated. He pushed off. Let's just be honest.
Did you see Kyler Murray smile before he threw the pass? I mean, Kyler Murray, what a stud, right? In a duel of quarterbacks, the guys that are supposed to be the future, we saw that Kyler Murray is the guy and Josh Allen is just another part of the pack. I mean, it is what it is. What's
funny about this is ordinarily I would say to you, you know what? You're right. You know what? I did have a worse weekend than you as you sit there drinking your tea, sipping your tea. I will make the argument right here and now, though, that I actually had a better weekend than you, despite the fact that my team imploded and had their hearts taken out and stopped on. Number one, how's QB1's ribs doing on this Monday? How's QB1's ribs doing? My guy, Jamaeus, coming through.
I can't believe it.
I'd rather have a healthy quarterback,
than have Jameis Winston as your quarterback. Hey,
AKA Jamaeus. Yes.
Ariel, yesterday, in the morning, I put out an Instagram story calling Tom Brady Drew Brees' son.
Yes.
And
talk about being cocky.
I send a message to Dana, and he just sends me the face palm because I was like, look at Drew Brees' son about to go play. You know, we hope you guys do well. End of the day, I receive a text from the boss that goes, you talk all that expletive, and you jinx Drew Brees. And you know what the only response I could give? That same face palm that he gave me. Bro, I mean, QB1's out. What are we going to do? And I thought that it would be fine, but this ain't no Teddy Bridgewater, man. We ain't got Teddy Bridgewater as a backup right now. And Jameis looked bad. Taysom Hill can pretty much run the ball.
I mean, yeah, that's all well good. Meanwhile, I go on Twitter this morning and I see your boy James Harden has asked for a trade. He wants out. So that team is imploding as well. So you sit here and you make fun of me. Meanwhile, everything's well and good. Yeah, we lost at the last second. It's all good. I don't have a basketball team that's imploding. I don't have a football team that's real.
We're gonna have to rebuild. I trust that the new management, upper management, will get the Rockets figured out. And we will have James Harden next year.
Yeah. Yeah. Where are you going to have him? On poster night when he comes back playing for the Nets? I mean, for real. And then on top of all that, I was actually going to start the show saying, if you were in front of me right now, I would give you a hug. I would ask you if everything was okay. I would even give you a big, fat, wet kiss on your forehead.
Don't talk.
Because of all your troubles with the PS5. I feel bad for you with your PS5 troubles. And now, you know what? I take them all back. I don't care about your PS5 troubles. I hope it never works. How about that? I hope it never works. I hope you're asking people, you're begging for people to help you out on the internet.
Is that bad? I've completely normalized myself.
Oh, my God.
To the point that I'm on Twitter talking to people. I've given out my number to multiple people that have promised to help me. Like, I've literally spoken on the phone with a lot of fans because they promised to help me, but it hasn't worked.
I hope they all spam you.
I'm still not able to get my PlayStation working. The reality is this, Ariel, I'm probably going to have a new number soon because at some point, one of these people that I've given my number to are going to put it on the internet.
What, they're just randomly calling you?
Yeah, man. I was desperate. I got desperate and started responding to direct messages. And anybody that said they could help me, and I'm talking about thousands of people, I pick about five of them and smartest sounding ones, and I gave them my phone number for us to try to figure it out. And safe to say, we have not figured it out, and I have made a number of new friends because now their friends are calling me. It's bad. I got desperate. I lost my mind.
I wish someone was filming that. You talking to these random people on
Twitter. I was on my controller last night. Like, last night, somehow my controller worked, and one guy added me into a voice group, and I'm thinking maybe he can help me. So me and this guy are talking. The guy's like, what's your Instagram name? I'm like, DC_MMA. Man, you got 2-3 million followers. I was like, yeah. Dude's like, hey, man, you got almost 3 million followers. I was like, yeah, I'm sorry, but I shouldn't have gotten on this call. Like, what am I doing? What am I doing?
Well, safe to say both of us had rough weekends for many different reasons. But nevertheless, you know who had a great weekend as we try. And by the way, before we actually get into things, happy Raisin Bran Day to you. Yesterday was National Raisin Bran
Day. What? Raisin Bran? My kids used to eat that crap, man.
Yesterday was National Raisin Bran Day. So
National Raisin Bran Day.
You know, you need
bro,
to
bro, how do you know all this? Like, I mean, I really want to know how
it was
you
a big
know
day. We actually celebrated. We made Raisin Bran muffins. Oh, of course. I mean, it's good. Listen, I'm Jewish. I got all kinds of problems inside, all right? So we need that.
Raisin bread. My kids used to eat that. They don't eat it anymore. Raisin bread.
No, Raisin Bran.
Raisin Bran?
Yes.
The cereal? The
cereal?
Yes.
What?
Raisin bread day. I said raisin bread. Anyway.
I thought you were talking about raisin bread. Like
no, raisin bread. Raisin bread is tremendous. I love that. I have it every Friday night. Let's talk UFC main event this past weekend. Paul Felder, Rafael Dos Anjos. What a story. When we said goodbye last Monday, we were debating, is RDA going to have an opponent? Is it going to be, you know, someone like Alex Hernandez? In the end, a couple hours later, we found out it was your broadcast partner, Paul Felder. And the story was that he took the fight on 5 days notice, which technically is true. But really, he took it on 3.5 days notice, if you ask me, because he had 3.5 days to drop from low 180s to 156. He ended up being the first guy to step on the scale. In the end, they fight. It doesn't go his way. One crazy judge named Chris Lee scored it 48-47 for Paul Felder. But I mean, I think most sane people had it 50-45 for RDA. But you know what, DC? One of those fights, if you ask me, no one lost, right? No one lost.
Nobody lost. And honestly, like, I mean, there's a lot to be made about Felder taking the fight on such short notice and RDA accepting the fight. We talked about this last week. We talked about how guys don't generally just stay on the card, especially a former champion like RDA. RDA took the fight, ended up getting, honestly, in terms of rankings, a bigger fight because Felder was in the top 10. Islam's like 12 right now. Fought a fantastic fight. Looked like himself. I mean, big, strong, kicks unbelievably hard. His wrestling was on point. He implemented the greatest. He fought the fight that he had to fight. Even if Paul had had a full camp, I believe it's a difficult matchup when RDA is on fire like he is. And I talked to Paul about this. I said, hey, you know, you're a guy that started kind of as Cowboy's training partner. And then you're at Rufus Sport and that's Pettis's gym. I go, but you fought RDA better than either of those guys on 3 days notice. I mean, that says a lot. You know, if he'd had more time to wrestle, I think he'd have did better. But I just believe that RDA motivated at 155 is a problem for everybody. He's a real problem.
So a couple of good pieces of news to come out of this fight, in addition to the fact that Felder showed up and saved the day, he announced that he won't be retiring, right? There was some talk that maybe he was done after the Dan Hooker fight back in February. And even going into this fight, maybe this would be the swan song. And he's like, all of a sudden, I feel rejuvenated. It was great. You know, for a guy who's never fought for a belt, who's always kind of been in that mid-tier, to see the entire MMA community rally around him and show him some love this past Saturday, to fight like that, really special and something that's really unique to our sport. Because even in boxing, you don't get stories like this, right? You don't get top guys coming out and saving the day. But you know what? It was almost symbolic in many respects of RDA's career. This guy is one of the most overlooked, you know, underrated fighters in the history of the sport, a former champion who has literally fought them all, right? Like even when he went up to 170, he fought Kamaru, he fought Leon Edwards, he fought Colby Covington, he fought everyone at 170 and 155. And I almost forgot, DC, that this was his return to 155, right? Like none of that was discussed all week. Nothing was made of the fact that he was coming back after a 3-year layoff to 155. I think even though he's 36, I think RDA has a run left in him at 155.
No, he does.
If he can get the weight cuts figured out, I think he could be a solid player again.
Well, think about the fight, right, with Felder last weekend and the way that he won the fight. You believe that a fight with Dan Hooker, a guy who has the same type of skill set as Paul, would not look similar, you know, in a way that RDA could try to implement that same game plan? Now, I'm not saying he's going to beat Dan Hooker, but we saw how close Paul and Dan Hooker was. A lot of people felt Felder won that fight. So, there are matchups within the top five of the division that RDA matches up really well, and getting a win over number 7 puts him right back on track to where he wants to be. It's a massive moment. But you're right, though, man. Like, the focus was on Felder, as it should have been, right, because of him cutting all the weight, taking the fight on such short notice. But RDA showed everybody that, listen, it takes two to tango. And I'm the man in this fight that's the better fighter, especially tonight. And I'm going to get the job done. I remember watching early in the fight, and you saw how it almost felt like the show pivoted and it was built around Paul and everything that it meant to him in terms of what his father meant to him and him taking the fight on short notice. And I remember thinking to myself, like, RDA is not just here to take part and participate in the Paul Felder story. This dude is going to be here to win this fight. And it was very clear very early that RDA was in there to get the job done. And he fought a beautiful fight, man. I,
it just makes me close my eyes and I think back to the performance against Pettis when he won the title and so and some of the fights that he had on his way to the title where I was like, wow, this guy's an absolute killer. And he looked like that on Saturday night.
You know, we forget that his last fight at lightweight 3 years ago was against Tony Ferguson, a fight he lost to, you know, Tony Ferguson, we know who he is and who he was 3 years ago. Prior to that, it was the Eddie Alvarez fight. So he left very much at the top of the lightweight division, moved to 170, clearly wasn't the good weight class for him because I think he was a little too small.
Yeah.
And him fighting at 155 now, I wonder if all of a sudden, because look, we know who the creme de la creme of the 155 pound division is. Obviously Khabib is still there sort of, and we'll get to him in a bit, but there's Conor, there's Poirier, there's Michael Chandler, there's Tony Ferguson, right? You mentioned Dan Hooker. I wonder if he's like that next guy in the mix, or because I think that they were trying to build Islam off his name.
Yeah.
Do you try to run it back with Islam now, or has he moved on past Islam and should Islam fight someone else?
I think I would like it to be him and Islam still, because I believe it's a big fight for Islam. But I think by beating, he'll hop right into the top 10, top 7, 8 area. He'll be right up there now. And I'm sure RDA and his team will start looking forward, right? Because now him coming back down to 155, it looks exciting to fight Islam. But now when you come off of a win like that, he'll probably start saying, why can't I fight Dan Hooker, who isn't scheduled to fight, is he?
No, not now.
Like, guys like that aren't scheduled. You know, Conor's fighting Dustin. Chandler, maybe Michael Chandler. I think that he'll start looking at one of those big-time fights now as he gets back into the UFC lightweight division. I hope it's Islam. I really do hope it's still Islam. I think it's a good fight. But I just worry that RDA is now going to start looking forward opposed to a guy that's going to be behind him in the rankings now.
Here's the thing, though. After the fight, he said he wanted Conor. And I saw some people sort of laugh at that, scoff at that. Lest we forget, UFC 196. They were supposed to fight. And I always felt bad for RDA. You know, it's amazing. You know what's so amazing? I was thinking about this morning. Think about how history, the history of this sport and this company, the UFC, would be completely different if that fight actually happens at UFC 196.
Because then he wouldn't have fought Diaz.
You don't get the two Diaz fights. You don't get the UFC 205 moment at Madison Square Garden with the two belts. Who knows if you even get the Mayweather fight? Right?
No,
so much change as a result. It would be nice if they could run it back. And you know, one forgotten piece of history, DC, before the Brooklyn incident at Barclays Center a couple of years ago, the plan was for RDA to fight Conor for the interim welterweight title in Brazil in May of that year. A lot of people don't know this. I reported at the time, Conor did the thing at Barclays, they pulled the plug on it, but that was actually a real thing. So actually he's missed out on two Conor fights throughout his career. So I would like for it to happen at some point. Yeah.
But that's why Conor seems so open to it, right? You know, Conor said, let me deal with Dustin and then you and I can do our thing, you know? So like he's open to it because he views RDA on that level, right? Because like you said, on multiple occasions, they were supposed to fight. Not only were they supposed to fight, they were supposed to fight for titles. They were supposed to fight for titles at welterweight and lightweight. So obviously that's a fight that's going to interest McGregor.
Would you call an audible on Dustin and do RDA versus?
No, man, I'm giving Dustin his fight, man. Leave Dustin alone, man.
Dustin mad at both of us now.
Dustin's mad at you. Dustin's not mad at me.
He's mad at Dustin, you more than me.
Dustin and I are opening the gym together in Louisiana. We can't be so mad at each other that we're going to open a gym together in our hometown. But listen.
These sensitive fighters, man. Here we are each and every week. We talk about these fighters. We try to help them. We try to guide them.
They get mad at you, boy. They get mad at you.
A little constructive criticism, and boom, they turn on you in a second.
And then when you try to tell them, like, listen, man, I'm doing you a favor, they call you soft. Because I know they called you soft last week. Oh, Ariel, you're getting soft.
Oh, yeah. Everybody, stop taking everything so personally.
You know what Dustin told me a couple weeks ago? He said, you're getting soft, DC. I can't even joke with you no more. I was like, wow, DC.
Yeah, you know what he said to me? He said, you're getting soft, Ariel, like your friend DC.
Oh, my goodness, Dustin. Come on, my brother. Why are you doing me like that? Hey, Dustin, listen. Call me soft in retirement, but don't put me on the same level as Ariel, man. Come on, man. Don't do that. Don't put me on the same level as Ariel. Hey, can we go back, though, like, in this
and
whole
by the way,
RDA,
we'll get to Dustin and DP in a second. Excuse me, yes. Dustin and Conor in a second. But yes, go ahead.
But when in this whole thing, right, when we give RDA, as we give him his credit, where it seemed like going into the fight, people were overlooking him. Now, in hindsight, we have to remember what Paul Felder did. But listen to this, though. Yesterday, I'm at my house, and I had gotten the call, right? when Paul Felder took the fight, it started a ripple effect. Michael Bisping's doing a movie. Hats off to Mike. He's a fantastic actor. He's going to England now to do a new movie. So he's off of the contenders. Felder was there to call the fights and do the contender series on Tuesday. So I get the call. Felder's fighting, DC. We need you on Tuesday. And I'm like, you got to come. I'm like, okay. So I'm ready to go. Felder fights in old Paulie Red Stash. Yeah, that's my boy, Paulie Red Stash from Philly. Fights the fight. Comes out on Sunday. He's laying in bed. I get a call. DC, Felder, wants to lay in bed for a couple days, recover. He's good to work if you don't want to. I'm like, wait, what? They're like, I was like, what a legend. Bro. Wait,
so he's going to do the Tuesday contender
series? Paul Felder's doing the contender series tomorrow. Wow. Paul Felder. And listen to the week Paul Felder had. Listen to the week that old Paulie Red Stash from Philly had. Takes the fight on 3.5 days notice. On Thursday, weight cut is so difficult. I heard from Ian Laurios, it was one of the hardest weight cuts ever. But Paulie, the gangster that he is, makes the weight. Not only does he make the weight, he fights 25 minutes against a former champion in RDA.
Showed up first on the scale, by the way.
Showed up first. You said some fights you don't lose. Paul Felder doesn't lose.
No.
Because on Sunday, I get the call from Felder. He's all marked up. DC, I go, Paul, I'll step aside. Because this is the stuff that legends are made of.
Yeah.
This right here, this is a moment, Paul, that does people don't forget this. The upper brass doesn't forget this. The fans won't forgive this. When they see you, when that visual, when the contender series starts and you're up there 3 days after a fight against RDA, calling the fights, I mean, you're a legend. Paul Felder tags in, DC, I'm in. I'll do it.
Wow.
I'll work the contenders. This dude's working tomorrow. 3 days after that fight, he's going to put back on his nice suit, and he's going to call those contender series fights. That's Paul Felder for you. People talk about good guys in the sport, right? And you're almost tempted to believe that it's fake, right? Like, oh, this guy's putting on. You know, this is an act. It's not an act with Paul Felder, man. He's that guy. He really is that guy. He's great at his job. He fought his butt off for 25 minutes against RDA. Yeah, he lost, but did he really? And then on Tuesday night when the contenders start, Paul Felder would be sitting at that table calling those fights. That is gangster.
Scars, bruises, and all, that's going to be a sight to see.
Could you imagine that, though? Like,
yeah, that's Ariel, incredible.
I run away. When I leave Ariel, I run. When I lose, I run away. I run away for 6 weeks, 2 months. I'm gone because I need to lick my wounds. Paul Felder goes, you know what? I've got a job to do. My job is to be there on Tuesday. I'll be there to do it. Unreal.
What a scene that was in the main event. So both guys walk out winners in different aspects. And then what a scene in the co-main event. You didn't even know this man's name last week, Chaos Williams. And now you're on his crap list. He wants in on EA Sports. Not only that, Kevin Holland told me last week he wants in on EA Sports. And I said, good news, guys. I know a guy. I know a guy who could put you in. The ratings adjuster himself. Are you going to get Chaos? I mean, dare I say, Chaos with that incredible. First of all, he's staring the guy down. It's the scariest thing. Oh,
boy, he's scary, huh?
Then he gets a knockout scary, like that. Yeah? And the body was just like Abdul Razak. I mean, it's like
he was stiff.
Can you get him in? Like, is it as easy as calling someone up and saying, hey, get my guy Chaos in? And while you're at it, can you get 2020 Fighter of the Year Kevin Holland in as well?
All right, so here's where we're going to go with this.
Yeah.
All right? I've become a very powerful man in this game. I mean, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I've become a very powerful man in this game.
Yes.
Love Chaos Williams.
Yes. I mean, what a name, right?
Let's say Kevin Holland is about this close.
Oh.
Chaos Williams is a little bit further away. I mean, I just got to be honest. I like Chaos Williams, but the Kevin Holland call is about this close. That's how close this Kevin Holland call is. And, I mean, I don't even know if he has to beat Jack Hermanson for the call to be made. But Kevin Holland's very close.
Okay.
Chaos is, you know, got a little more work to do. But that performance last weekend, I mean, that punch right down the middle to stiffen out Razak. What's his name? Abdul Razak. What's his name? How you say that? Abdul Razak Hassan. That's his name?
Al-Hassan.
Abdul Razak Al-Hassan.
Yes.
That's his name?
That's his name.
Boom. Right hand down the middle. Abdul Hakrasan falls back. Listen, so you just trying to make me pronounce everybody's name, dog. So he stiffens him out, yes. Completely knocks. Then he goes to finish him, and I'm looking at Chaos. I'm like, boy, do you have a perfect name? I mean, has anybody been named more perfect than Chaos Williams? Like, you were born with crypt like this freaking power in your right hand, and then you hit Razak Hasan and just puts him down on his back. It was crazy, man. It was crazy.
One of the many highlights from this past weekend, a fun night. And of course, UFC back this weekend, UFC 255 pay-per-view card. We'll get to that card in a second. You'll be on the call. You're back.
Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play.
But I want to go back to our friend Dustin, who did sign his contract.
You see, you just want Dustin to hate you.
No. He signed his contract. I want to update the world because we were saying that he was on the verge of losing it. He signed his contract.
Well, you said that.
And I could tell you, DC, right now, according to my sources, that the talks with Connor are moving in the right direction, but not a done deal just yet. So it is worth noting that the talks with Connor are moving in the right direction, but not a done deal just yet. This, of course, for January 23rd. So I want to congratulate Dustin on getting the fight, signing the deal, making it happen, taking our advice to heart, and, you know, coming to his senses. And that's
I can't understand how you just take credit for everything. I mean, you take credit for everything.
This is just what we talked about behind the scenes. I won't get too far into it. But what about Khabib showing on Instagram that he did a USADA test last week, man? I'm saying this whole retirement thing is fugazi. If you retire, why are you doing USADA testing? What's going on?
You know, I think you leave the door open. I mean, you know, Dana said a while back, I told him, I go, hey, get me out of the rankings, take me out of all that.
You did, yeah.
Yes, he did. But I still do USADA. I mean, it's kind of, at this point, it's fun. You know, like, hey, show up. You know, make me still feel like an athlete. You know, I'll stay in the testing pool. It's fine. Sometimes it's fun to just get tested randomly. It's cool.
Why would you want to get tested? He said 47 times.
Yeah, and I'm at like 55, but I'm trying to break the record. I'm just trying to stay out ahead of everybody. So, yeah, that's why. It's not a big deal.
Wait, you know, you're still getting tested?
Yeah, sometimes. It's all good. It's fun.
I thought you took yourself out.
Out of the rankings. And initially, I was going to get out of USADA, but then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to stay. And then,
no, you're not. You're such a liar. Why are you still
getting... Are you serious? Are you serious?
What's the point?
I do it because I'm just trying to stay. All right. I'm just trying to keep more negative tests than Jones. I'm just trying to keep, if I keep doing them forward, Jones will never catch me. You know, that's it. Like,
you want one victory over him.
Look, DC, here's your daily whereabouts reminder. You see it? You saw it. Can you see it?
Why would you still do this?
I mean, it's fun. You know, like, I just like every day. Hey, nope. That's one more negative test, and I'm out ahead of these guys. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, why not?
But this is the time you could really bulk up.
I've made friendships with the USADA people. You know, Deb. The lady's name is Deb. She comes. We hang out, drink coffee, you know, all this other stuff. You know? So, yeah, I just stay in the testing pool. Why not?
You know, people are going to spin this into you keeping the door open for your
return. That's not happening. It's just literally because I enjoy, like, continuing to get negative tests just to show everyone that it's easy to do it. Don't cheat, and you will never fail a test.
Did you see what Yancy Madero said on Twitter about the testing?
That is interesting. You want me to tell you an interesting story about me?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. So I would go to take my USADA test at times, and I'm kind of a despicable person. And so when you can't, if they come right after I've peed, I would try to drink a lot of water and coffee. Well, at times that makes my stomach hurt and I have to go to the bathroom. So I would go to the smallest bathroom in my house, close the door, and sit to do a number two and pee in the cup. That's what I would do. And the guys would be like, oh man. So you want to come to my house when I'm cutting weight? I'll take you in the smallest bathroom in the house.
Oh my God.
And you got to sit there. Like, that's what I would do to the guy. Poor guy, man.
Thank you for this. Thank you for this information. Thank you.
It happens sometimes. Hey, Ariel, I'm despicable, man. Like, Rosendo would look at me like, you know what, DC, man? I thought that I was just bad, but you're terrible. He's like, you going to do this to this man again? I'm like, hey, let's go upstairs real quick to that bathroom. It's like a closet.
And he's in there with you? God, that's the worst.
It's not the worst. Like, it's not the worst. All right. Are we friends? Are we friends or no?
Who, me and you?
If you had to do a USADA test for me, you wouldn't come?
I would come. I would run to Gilroy right now for you.
And sit there while I go upstairs and do that?
We're going to talk more about this lightweight division, which is constantly in the news. But first, DC, speaking of, you know, being in the bathroom and whatnot. How about our good friends over at Manscaped?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Now, DC,
you know, I used to help you with that. Remember, I used to help you with that. Like, they support you, support them because, and you would do this, and I would go, oh, they support it. No more.
No more.
I'm done. I'm out. I've jumped off the bandwagon. Until they start doing, use the code DC, it's over.
Well, let me ask you about this bandwagon, because Tony Ferguson has been very active on social media over the last 2 days, basically begging to be added to the last pay-per-view of the year, UFC 256, December 12th. It's been hit by injuries, right? We were supposed to get Usman versus Burns. We were supposed to get Amanda Nunes versus Megan Anderson. Both those fights are off, so we're left with just one title fight, at least as of right now, Petr Yan versus Aljamain Sterling. Here's Tony Ferguson begging to be added. And I got news for you, DC. I don't think he's going to be added. He wants to fight Michael Chandler. Chandler not responding at all. What do you make of this whole situation? Doesn't this seem like a layup?
So, yes, it does. My question is this, though, with Chandler. What's the plan for Chandler? What's the plan, or what's the hope for Chandler, not only from the organization, but from Mike? Like, who do they want? I think the most legitimate fight is to take, I mean, Tony Ferguson. That's an insane fight. You know, that fight, if you get past Ferguson, now you're the number one contender. And not many people can argue that. Maybe he won't. I don't know. I haven't figured out why I haven't heard anything yet about Chandler in his UFC debut. That's what I'm very interested about. And I believe that him versus Ferguson makes all the sense in the world. Adds immediate star power to a pay-per-view now that has Volkanovski? Is it Volkanovski fighting?
No, Petr Yan, Aljamain
Sterling. Yeah, you need another name to that fight card. And I'm sure they're working on it behind the scenes, but seems like a layup to throw Ferguson versus Chandler on there.
Well, he's putting out videos, very nicely produced videos, by the way, putting out tweets. And
I know.
He's getting no response. And I'm told that he's hitting a brick wall. Like, it's not looking good for him to be added. This reminds me of a couple of years ago when there was Marlon Moraes versus Henry Cejudo in Chicago and also Valentina versus Jessica Eye, and they needed some beefing up. So they added Ferguson versus Donald Cerrone. Here's Tony Ferguson yet again. Remember, he saved the day back in May in Jacksonville, trying to save the day, beef up this card. But for whatever reason, there are no takers. And DC, you know what I kind of feel like right now? I sort of feel like Michael Chandler is debuting. This is shades of Kurt Angle, 1999. He's clean cut. He's good looking, right? He's got the perfect physique. But I feel like he's kind of a heel right now, because first he enters the company as the backup for the title fight that no one really thought made a lot of sense. Then you have RDA campaigning for him, and he's like, no, 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 no. Now you have Tony Ferguson. Like, is Michael Chandler a heel? Is he like the perfectly, you know, groomed?
When they're perfect, it makes you want to boo the guy, right?
What's going on here?
So Michael Chandler's no selling everybody.
No selling. And
you know what would be great? If Michael Chandler just ends up in a title fight. That would be the ultimate
operator. In there?
But just walt, like, you know what? Tony Ferguson, you're calling me out. It's not for a belt. You know, RDA, not for a belt. Next thing you know, he's in an interim title fight, or he's in the lightweight title fight. That would just be the greatest thing in the world, because it would make people just dislike him. And if I'm Chandler, I'm just steering right into it. I mean, if all that hate is off to the left, I'm just turning my car as hard left as I can, and I'm going right into the hate, because, like you said, man, he seems to do – on the surface, he seems to do everything right. He trains hard. He looks good. He's physically strong. But it almost seems as though right now, coming in the way that he did, it's almost like the silver platter is getting handed to him.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because how does a guy that's about to make his debut have that much say or – no say in terms of responding
to all these dudes that have been here for years, and they can't get them to, like, at least acknowledge him. It's crazy to watch.
You guys put him over like no other on the broadcast. Oh, he's, man, there, he was, with you,
I,
and
talked,
Anik.
To him, I talked to him. He did such a great job. He commanded the screen. He was very well spoken. He turned to me. He turned to Anik. You could see that this guy's worn a title or two in his lifetime. You could see it. He's worn a title. He's been in the spotlight. He understands how he needs to behave in front of a camera.
Or maybe as our producer Sean is telling me now, maybe he's John Cena, early days John Cena. He's so perfect that everyone turns on the guy, because I feel like he's just so perfect. But yet, like, DC, how do you not respond to Ferguson? Like, Ferguson is putting out produced video packages. Like, Ferguson went out and made his own video package. And it wasn't just like something on his phone. Like, this was high level stuff. Like, he got someone to do.
It might be even better. Tonight. Right? Tony's putting so much effort and he's just no selling him. It's like, I'm too big for you, Tony Ferguson. That's crazy.
I'm just gonna wait here just for the Khabib visual. To come,
like,
back.
I'm just gonna sit here and fight Khabib. I mean, you guys, I'm just gonna fight Khabib. Like, really? Like, he said, you know, Khabib said he's walking away because he could either come back and be 30-0 or 29 in Chandler. He said he could be 29 in Chandler.
Did he say that? I missed that.
He said that.
That's a great line, by the way.
30-0, he can be 29 in Chandler. And I'm like, so Michael Chandler's just sitting there going, you know what? I'm just going to fight Khabib. If Khabib's coming back, I'm fighting Khabib. Like, the rest of you guys can just go rock. Huh?
He's just chilling.
I've never seen anything like it. I don't think I've ever seen a guy come into the UFC and have this approach.
It's kind of brilliant in some respects, but I would love to see that fight added to the 12-12 pay-per-view.
I would love to see him fight. Well, I think he's going to have to fight somebody, right? Ultimately, as fun as
we're – Ferguson makes all the sense in the world.
It does. But as fun as we're – this is going to be so fun, and he did the heel. He's going to have to fight someone. He ain't going to just get Khabib or McGregor. So we got to see who that person is going to be.
And of course, with regards to Amanda Nunes and Megan Anderson, perhaps this is a blessing in disguise for the 145-pound division. It delays things a little bit. Kayla Harrison debuting as a 145er later this week in what is a very packed MMA schedule this weekend. So we'll see what happens there. But as of right now, we don't have a new date for Amanda Nunes versus Megan Anderson. Now, that's 12-12, DC. I got to talk to you about 12-19, because look, DC, we got a lot of big fights coming up. We got a ton of big fights to end the year. I don't know. Honestly, can I be honest with you right now? I don't know if I've ever been more excited for a non-title fight than I am for Leon Edwards, Leon Rocky Edwards versus Khamzat Chimaev. DC, just listen to me right now. This is going to, because I talked to Leon last week, so I want to report back my feelings. DC, this is the last fight in the last card, the last main event of 2020. DC, what is 2020? 2020 is the year that kicked everyone in the groin, right? Yes, everyone suffered some kind of bad luck.
Everybody's like, oh gosh, I can't wait to get to the next year. Like, can it get over?
Yes.
What bad can happen next is the question.
Yes, it's just like one bad thing after the next.
Yeah. Well,
when the pandemic started, the first main event, the first card that got canceled was Leon Edwards versus Tyron Woodley, March 21st in London.
Look at his year. Look at poor Leon's year.
And who has been screwed time and again in 2020? Could you imagine if the year ends with Leon Edwards, who is the symbol for everyone getting kicked in the groin this year, if the year ends with Leon Edwards getting his hand raised, Leon Edwards, who told me last week that he thinks the company is rooting against him, the company wants him to fail, Leon Edwards beating the golden boy, the breakout star, the wolf, Khamzat Chimaev. You can't write a better script. Vince McMahon wishes he had a script like this.
That would be bad.
A burn coming in there. In Las Vegas. That's the last image. You fade to black. The curtains come down and it's Leon.
Rocky. And Rocky's with his hand raised.
Oh, what's better than that? Goodness. You can't. The fact that that's the last fight of this year with Leon against Khamzat, who's kind of who's been the biggest beneficiary of 2020.
Against, yes. Khamzat Chimaev he's one of the very few people in the world that 2020 has been good to, right? Yes. Most people are like, want to end this year. Khamzat, if he could live in 2020 for the rest of his life, with the way things have been going, from making his debut, having those two fights in 2 weeks, to knocking out Gerald, to being at Fight Island and sitting next to Dana White and legitimately becoming a star overnight, it feels like. But now he's got Leon Edwards. If he loses this fight in the end of the year, hey, and listen, Leon Edwards has won 8 fights in a row. Leon Edwards is as good as they come. This is a massive step up for Khamzat.
Bro, this is it's crazy because if he wins, he'll skyrocket to the moon, right? I mean, are we looking at if Khamzat Chimaev wins, are we looking at a situation where you start going, oh, Gilbert? I mean, Gilbert, you waited. Like, I mean, this guy Khamzat, I mean, just
Gilbert's been waiting now for like 3 years.
It's scary, like, right? Like, yeah. It's like he did it. Everything Gilbert did, Khamzat is doing right now, taking every fight, fighting the guys. He wins, it's massive. But if he loses, how do you deny Leon Edwards anything? He's the one that took the fight.
Khamzat's sitting there at the table with Dana White. Leon Edwards can't even get a meeting with Dana White, the poor guy.
The poor guy can't even get a meeting.
He can't even get his phone call answer. You get taken out of the rankings for 24 hours because he didn't accept the fight. DC, I just think if they sell this the right way, Leon Edwards represents the everyman who has been screwed over in 2020, who has seen his hopes and dreams dashed time and again this year. And he's going up against the man who has
been... Because you've done Leon bad. I'm surprised Leon talked to you. There's a very growing theme in the world that mixed martial arts. We do a show on Monday. Somebody hates you by Monday afternoon, and they promise to never talk to you again. I'm surprised Leon still talked to you.
It's so funny because Leon said, hey, Ari, I can't do his accent. I was about to, but I can't do it. You and I are cool. I know you're the only one in this sport who has had my back. Literally the only one. But that guy, DC, who I trained with.
Rocky.
Within the walls of American Kickboxing Academy, who took me under his supposed wing back in the day. Rocky would never say that.
He's a sweetheart.
Go look at the
interview. He's a sweetheart. He never would turn his back on me. Leon, please, turn to me, my brother, because this is nonsense. Don't let this number one BS guy get you. Don't let him do this. This guy's number one.
Listen, this is what he said. This is the part that really stuck with me. He said, I'm not mad at DC. I'm just disappointed.
Oh, come on, man. He never said that. Man.
That's what he said. He said,
everybody knows, dog. Anybody that is in this world knows that if your parents says they're disappointed in you is bad. Rocky didn't say that. Leon, you did not say that. Leon, message me, Leon. This guy's trying to build a wedge between us. I'm the guy. Remember, Leon, I was the guy that was trying to give you the Nick Diaz fight when he came back, when Ariel was trying to put you in with. Ariel might have been trying to stick you in there with Khamzat.
Yeah, I was trying to put him in there with Gilbert. Fight for the belt, but we're not going to rehash that one because that got me in all kinds of trouble. December 19th, I can't wait. If they need me to fly down to the Apex and sell this, like, I can do another promo.
Should I ask? I mean, is it time for me to make to ask a favor?
Throw me to the back and just be like, for more on this fight, let's go to our correspondent, Ari Helwani, and I will cut a promo unlike any other.
That used to be the thing. Hey, and now is Karen Bryant. And now let's go back to Ari Helwani, who's in the locker room with DC after his first loss. I'm in there crying. And now let's go back to Ari Helwani standing with the president, Dana White. Hey, Dana, boy, I have never seen a situation that where you went from the penthouse down to the
– what? Show with you on Zoom. This is great.
What happened?
Well, I'll tell you about another guy that I'm very.
But now I'm gonna ask, and hopefully we can get this started again.
Let's go.
I mean, I just hope that me asking doesn't end up with me in the same position as you. You're
the golden boy. When you're there this weekend for UFC 255,
I'll ask. I'm just gonna ask.
Let's just start with the tweets. Just the tweets. That's all I want. The tweets on the TV.
Wait, you want your tweet on the TV?
Yeah, I need some followers. I need the bump.
You know, the other day, I actually tagged you in my tweet that made it onto the broadcast, and it was like wiped out. It was wiped out. That's true. It was wiped out.
The one with the mistake. The one where you tagged Paul Felder wrong. I forgot about that.
You were wiped out. They said, let's just hit delete, and now we're going to put this up.
You still tagged him wrong, so I'll help you with your social media, which is a total
mess. You think
mess.
My social media is bad?
Horrible. It's one of the worst social... Your punctuation, your Twitter etiquette, like you don't tag the right people. You start tweets like with a period when it shouldn't be a period. It's like you always...
I don't start tweets with a period. That's the problem.
You start with DC.
Somebody told me that you're supposed to put like a period or a comma in the beginning.
No, not a comma. That's horrible. No,
they said you put it in the beginning because then it goes to people that aren't following you or something like that.
A period, yeah. It's a mess. Anyway, let's talk about UFC 255. That's this weekend. We got two titles and we got the return. I mean, Leon's my guy, no doubt about it. But you know what I said. I was on the Davison Figueiredo bandwagon before everyone. This guy, hairstylist. Sushi chef.
Oh, you man.
Taxi driver. He's a true Renaissance man.
Love this dude.
the face of the flyweight.
You love Davis and Figueiredo, though.
Love him. People knocking this pay-per-view, I would pay $160. I would double the price to watch him on pay-per-view.
This whole hair, I cannot have this hair conversation again with you about Davis and Figueiredo, man. I just can't. We've done it. I can't do it anymore. But the fights this weekend.
Yes.
Unbelievable. Davis and Figueiredo showed power and skills at 125 that makes him so scary. He looks like he can be a long-reigning champion. From the first Benavidez knockout to the second, where he dominated Joe B from start to finish. And we have not seen Joe B get dominated like that. I mean, DJ? Did DJ even dominate him in the way that Davison did? I mean,
well, DJ did knock him out in like a minute.
No, but they fought twice, right? They fought twice. Yeah.
Okay.
The second time wasn't as bad, right?
No, the second time was the knockout.
But the first one was a little bit better. Like, there was one fight close. That was kind of competitive. Yes, but
UFC
like
152 Toronto.
Yeah, but he got dominated by Davison Figueiredo, twice. And he just choked him unconscious. He beat him on
the feet. Rematch should have never happened, if you ask me.
He beat him on the feet. Then he dominated him on the ground. He just really out-hustled him. But then Alex Perez, Ariel, I mean, when you watch Alex Perez from where he started to where he is today, he's improved leaps and bounds. I think that these guys fighting on Saturday is a guaranteed good fight, and it shows why the great Triple C champion Cejudo really did the whole entire mixed martial arts community a favor by fighting and getting the division brought back, because this is a talented weight class.
I just can't wait to see what shirt Davison wears to the fight. Because remember last time he was wearing that, like, I don't know what that was. Like, it was satin or something.
It was silk. Sunglasses. It was silk. Oh, silk. Was that velvet?
It actually looked like a velvet shirt. It velvet? Was great. He's wearing the sunglasses. This is a big deal for Contender Series, by the way, because Alex Perez is the first Contender Series product to fight for a belt. So you know Dana White's excited about that, right? Because it sort of validates the show. I remember when Forrest Griffin fought for the belt back in the Ultimate Fighter. This is sort of the same type of thing. But DC, there's two other flyweights on the card: Brandon Moreno and Roy Val. There's only 22.
Phenomenal.
There's only 22 flyweights in the UFC right now under contract. But I feel like the division with Davison Figueiredo leading the way is in a pretty good spot. Like I'm excited about this.
It's viable, and then to have Brandon Roy Val and. McLovin, Moreno, to have him and McLovin about to fight this weekend, that just gives you a clear number one contender too, right? Fighting on the same night, Roy Val looked like he's been insane since he made his debut. I called his debut. He beat the kid from Kansas City, Tim, what's the guy's name?
Tim Elliott.
Mm-hmm. Submitted him. Mm-hmm. And then the fight on Fight Island that he had was just madness against, what's the guy's name? The English guy, right? Kai Car France? Was it Kai Car France?
No, from Australia.
From Australia. He beat Kai Car France. That was a crazy fight. He hurt him on the feet and submitted him. And then we know how good McLovin is for as long as he's been around. You know, Brandon Moreno. So it gives a clear number one contender. And that's all you can really hope for in a division that was essentially on the cutting block not very long ago. But with Davison Figueiredo at the head, it does seem like it can be around for a long time and have exciting fights.
And of course, I don't want the entire country of New Zealand to hate me. New Zealand. I made a mistake there. It was New Zealand. Kai Car France, City Kickboxing, Israel Adesanya wears cool hats. Sorry about that.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Can I tell you an unpopular opinion, a very unpopular opinion? And people are going to hate on me for this, but this is 100% authentic. I genuinely feel this way. I love the fact that the two flyweight divisions are at the top of this bill. I love that it's Davison Figueiredo and Valentina Shevchenko, the two flyweight champions, male, female. Now, we don't know a lot about, like, I'll be honest. Yeah, sure. Their opponents, Alex Perez and Jennifer Maia, respectively, aren't the biggest names. But, you know, for an organization that has been accused of maybe not paying the same type of attention and love to the flyweights. I think it's kind of cool that the two flyweight, that they group them together, right? Because to me, Valentina Shevchenko is must-see TV. She is must-see TV. She's the second best female fighter on the planet, right? Behind Amanda Nunes.
Very close to Amanda Nunes.
Yeah.
She's shown as an undersized person that she can compete with Amanda, who has just dominated everybody else. So, I mean, Valentina's a killer. But more than anything, I think what this weekend shows, right, because you say many occasions people talk about this guy's deserving of a title fight, but he doesn't get it because he doesn't have a big name. Well, this weekend you got two people getting title fights that don't have the biggest name. So they're getting it based on what they have done, not on their Twitter following or their social media or their ability to draw people in. They're getting it because they've earned it. Jennifer Maia earned her title fight, and she's getting it. Alex Perez earned his title fight, and he's getting it. So I think it just speaks to the state of the division and speaks to the fact that if things are done the right way, path to a title fight can still be pretty clear.
Yeah, the weigh-ins are going to be interesting because we're just one fight removed of Figueiredo missing weight. So
yeah, he's all, still some he's doubt. Done it a number of times. He's done it a number of times.
And Jennifer Maia has missed weight a couple times. She's a former Invicta FC 125 champ, but in the UFC, she's had some trouble. In her last fight against Joanne Calderwood, that's how she got the title fight with the win over Joanne this summer. She has missed weight before that fight. So the weigh-ins to me on Friday are going to be really interesting to see if all
I'm trying to tell you, though, man, like when you're going into your first title fight, you usually will not leave things to chance. I know people are going to say, oh, well, when you fought in Buffalo, you did this, this, and the other. Bro, these guys are going to step on the scale at weight. Okay. I'm pretty confident.
Clip this off. Jedi, clip this off. We'll see on Friday if this comes to fruition. You got the return of Joaquin Buckley, the man who, you know, we can
get out right now. Yeah, spinning back from hell.
I mean, knockout of the year, no doubt about it. Some pressure, though, right? Don't you feel like there's a bit of pressure on him to top that? No, I mean,
you can, if he goes in there with the idea that he needs to top what he did that time, he's going to get himself beat. You got to go in and just compete to the best of your ability, because the reality is Joaquin Buckley did not plan for that kick to happen. If he had planned for it, it would have never happened. You got to just let yourself compete and fight. And when those big moments are presented to you, you take them and you become an overnight superstar. Like he did with that knockout on Fight Island.
I wonder if he's going to try too hard. Like, you don't want, because his life changed dramatically since the knockout. If you try too hard, to your point, usually bad things happen. Yeah. Shogun fighting. So a lot of names. You know, the card has been maligned to a degree, but there's some names. There's something for everyone on this card. So you'll be there. You'll be calling the action. You're back.
Yep. Me, John Anik, and Joe Rogan. We're back.
The A team back.
The A team's back. You know, we can't wait to call the fights.
Okay, a few other things that we have to get to. What about last week? We talked, of course, about Paul Felder and RDA, but Patricio Pitbull, who looked incredible, right?
Bro, what's up with that dude? Like, what's up with that dude? And like, what's up with this Pitbull? Like, this dude is crazy.
Can I tell you something? First of all, so he knocks out Pedro Carvalho. He advances in the Bellator Featherweight Grand Prix. I think Pitbull versus Volkanovski, the respective 145 champions, is a very, very even fight. A lot of people were calling me crazy for saying, like, putting out a poll. I put out a poll and Volkanovski won by a landslide. I think it's just because people don't know Pitbull. I think Pitbull is one of the most underrated fighters in the sport today. And I think that would be a very close fight. Crazy
or not? I think there's a couple guys over at Bellator that are very tough. Douglas Lima at 170.
And they don't get the respect they deserve.
No. And Pitbull. But I think what we see is when Chandler fights, because he's another guy that lived at the top of the division in Bellator, we see how he competes and we'll know if those guys really are.
Pitbull knocked out Chandler not that long ago. He moved up from 145.
No, I get it. No, I'm saying that. I get it. But if Chandler goes and competes well, then you know Pitbull can because he beat him, right? I know it doesn't work like that always, but you know. But when you watch guys leave the UFC and go to Bellator, the vast majority of them become champions. So you know that the level, it's relative. But I don't know if all these guys compete. I do feel like Pitbull could. There's some guys over there I think can compete in the UFC.
And he's in the same conversation as you. because fitting that he actually beat Carvalho on what Conor McGregor deemed World Champ Day. Because he is a champ. He sent out nice wishes to you as well, to you, Amanda Nunes, Did you celebrate in any particular way? Did you pop some bubbly? Did you?
No, I didn't. I don't know. I don't know who created that. I think Connor might have. Wasn't it the day that he won his second belt?
Mean, that's the day.
So that's the holiday, right? So it's the Champ Day is the day that Connor won his second belt. You know what I'm saying?
I noticed you didn't reply to him. You didn't say thank
you. Well, I mean, I did take note and I appreciate it because there was a time that he did not. I think he might have like took a shot at me or something with my second belt, you know. So
no, I felt like I felt like it was a peace offering because the last time he tagged you, he called you a fat fool. So this time,
he did. No, I mean, listen, that's the thing about McGregor, right? McGregor is like, you know, he'll do. I don't know, man. Guy's a showman. You know, he's a showman, and you know, he gave that shout to Amanda, myself, Henry, and bro. It's difficult to do what all four of us have done. Holding two titles at one time is not easy, and people should be congratulated for that feat. And to get it from the biggest star in the sport, it means a lot to not only myself, but Amanda and Henry and everybody else.
And Pitbull as well, who's a Bellator double champ. Ryan Bader, too.
Double champ. Well, Connor didn't tag him. I mean,
yeah, he forgot. That wasn't very nice. Also on that card, by the way, your old friend, I'm not sure because he doesn't train with him, Aaron Pico. Is he back? Is Aaron Pico for real? What's going on?
I mean, he's always been. Aaron Pico's always been for real. Like, he's always been extremely talented, right? It just took him locking everything down and getting an idea of what he wanted to do. Because for a while, Cheeks kind of thought that he could go out and just fight.
Wait,
can't go out and just fight.
Cheeks?
That's his name, Cheeks. That's his nickname.
Like Cheeks?
Yeah, like Cheeks.
What?
When he was a kid, he kind of had a little bit, I guess, round face. I don't know what they called him. Cheeks.
I didn't know that.
He was called Cheeks. Anyway, he thought you could just go fight. Well, reality is, because he's from boxing, right? He wanted to fight with the Mexican style, in-your-face pressure, Cain Velasquez. But with those four-ounce gloves, you can't do that. And I think that's why he was getting hit and hurt so often. But now he seems to have it right. And those guys down the Jacksons have really got him locked in, and he's looking phenomenal.
Happy it's good him. To see, because a lot of people jumped off the bandwagon and said that he was a never was and all hype. That was a phenomenal knockout. And he's not fighting top tier guys.
Absolutely. But that's the thing, right? There's been a step back in competition. Yeah. There's been a step back in competition, and maybe he needed that. But eventually he's going to have to go back to that level where all these new tactics, he's going to have to implement them into his approach. He's going to have to implement them into his approach with tougher fights.
Speaking of Aaron Pico, by the way, I want to give a shout out to our team online, the ESPN.com/MMA team. Today, DC, they unveiled a list that you have long not been a part of, the top 25 under 25 fighters MMA right now.
Cheeks Aaron is still in the under 25?
Amazingly, right? He's 24.
Unbelievable, because he's been fighting. It seems like he's been around forever already.
He comes in at number four. Any guesses? I mean, it's tough to put you on the spot like this.
Number one?
It's really well,
first
hard.
Off, like, I don't really know. Like, I mean, I really
ages,
don't know.
Yeah, it's tough.
Well, I don't really know many people. Like, I just try to figure it out. Like, right before I do the fights, I do my research and I learn. But
you call me. You say, yo, I need some
let
info.
Let me think. Under 25.
I don't think you're going to get it. Not because he's not.
That was a gal that fought last week, and that's pretty good. She might be number one.
She's
number one.
Corey McKenna.
What's her name?
Corey McKenna and Kay Hansen.
Corey McKenna, she's number one. Corey McKenna's number one.
No, she's not. She's
wait, who did those rankings? It's blasphemous.
No,
it's not number
you don't
one.
Even know her name for God's sakes.
Hey, this is blasphemy. By the way, those rankings are not good because she's not number one. After that performance last weekend, there's no way anybody should be ranked above her.
Jimmy Crute, number one.
Okay, well, maybe I'll consider those rankings a little bit because Jimmy Crute is good. I forgot Jimmy Crute, but
24.
Corey McKinnis, I'm telling you, Corey McKinnis should be right up there, top two or three.
Isn't that a basketball player? Edmund Shabazian, number two.
I forgot about him too. Yeah, Edmund Shabazian. Like, he should be like number one.
Song Yadong, number three. Product of alpha male like Corey McKinnis. Number four is Aaron Pico. Number five, Brendan Allen. So a lot of the under 25ers.
Wait, Brendan Allen should be number one. He's from Louisiana.
Yeah, but
Brendan
he just Allen's got
from Louisiana, right?
He just lost badly.
Right?
I mean, I don't know. What are you asking me? Is he?
Wow. Is he from North Louisiana?
I don't know. I have to look this up.
These are the type of things that you normally know off the top of your head. Oh, this guy's falling off. Oh, he's falling off.
He's I don't know.
Bossier City, Louisiana.
I'm sitting here on an island by myself. I know he trains out of Sanford MMA. If anyone wants to help me out with the whereabouts of one Brendan Allen. Anyway, go check out that list, all right? It's on ESPN.com/ Hey, what was it say for you?
Yeah, good job to the MMA team. And, you know, talking about Aaron Pico, hey, shout out to Jordan Burroughs, the greatest wrestler of this generation. Last weekend took on a very tough Zahid Valencia and beat him in an all-star match. Kid outweighed him by about 12 pounds. You know, for years, I've talked about Jordan Burroughs, with the Russians, saying he could beat all the Russians. Everybody chose against Mario. Like, you, hey, I had a chance to say, y'all must have forgot. And Jordan Burroughs, he went out there and did his thing and won again, man. So, yeah, big shout out to Jordan Burroughs for getting it done again.
Shout out to Jordan Burroughs, one of the all-time greats. Hey, shout out to your hairline. Last week you
did you see that?
You revealed.
You remember that, man? I cannot believe you screen grabbed it.
By the way, photos that I've been holding on to.
Why did you do that?
Legit, almost 7 years. January of 2015, you called me right before Ryan Bader versus Anthony Johnson at the Prudential Center in Newark, and you're like, "All right, look at this. Look what happened to me. I just went to a random barbershop in Newark. Look what they did." And of course, I screen grabbed it. What did they do? Tell us what they have, because this has never happened to me.
I walk into this place in Newark, and they're cutting my hair, and I could feel the guy like putting these hair follicles in there and like paint. It was almost like paint. And he starts like building my edge up. And at first, I'm looking at it like, I'm kind of looking good. But then I started thinking, people may notice that this is not my real hairline. You know, like, started to get a little bit worried. I started to have the Carlos Boozer situation started to seep into my head. And I was like, you know, I don't want to keep this. But if I should probably ask someone for an opinion. So I called you thinking I could trust you. You screen grabbed me.
And at least just hold on. 7 years.
Was it because I got you catfished that one night for dinner when they were like, order something? I was like, eat fried catfish. And you were like, I can't believe you gave me fried catfish. I mean, this is the bottom
fish. It just felt like a good time to reveal it and bring back some good memories. So wait, what did you do? Did you wash it off?
Bro, I was in the bathroom, like really scrubbing it. Like, I was having to scrub it out of my hair. And when I went on the show that night, it still was there a little bit. So if anybody can find the show from that fight night, it was still kind of in there. Like, I still one of my greatest shows because I felt like I just looked so much younger.
Would you bring it back now? Now that the island is gone?
No, man, I'm good. I'm good with the shaved head. Like, it takes 5 minutes. It takes 5 minutes for me to just shave and buzz my head. I love it.
You don't have to do the whole fade nonsense, all that. I mean, who needs
sitting in the barber chair, having to go meet people, having to deal with the fact that you just look ridiculous when you get a haircut. Like, I don't know why I waited so long. Because honestly, if I got to say so myself, I'd be remiss if I didn't say I look very good right now. Good. You know, I think the bald head fade, it fits me.
And you know, I said you had a horrible weekend, and in many respects you did, even more so than a weekend because the whole PS5 thing. But you did have one great thing happen to you. Correct me if I'm wrong. You were finally, I don't know how this is possible, 20 years later, introduced to the legend Larry David.
Yeah. I started watching Pardon the, what is it called? What is it called? Pardon the Interruption? No, Curb Your Enthusiasm. Cut that one. Yes. I watch Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's my favorite show in the world, bro.
You never saw this show?
No, it's fantastic. This Larry David is out of his mind, bro. He's out of his mind. He really kind of reminds me of you a little bit.
I'll take that as a compliment. I think really, a lot of people think it's a compliment.
You don't have his money, so it's like, don't be too complimented. But like, the fact, the way he acts, like, he's very like neurotic. And the way that he acts, I'm like, wow, this is Ariel. Ariel acts like this. He acts like this.
I can't believe it took you this long to watch this.
Well, I love Seinfeld. Like, yes. I love Seinfeld. I just didn't know that it would be good, but it's really good. It's real good.
So you're like binging it now? You're done with the Beverly Hillbillies. You're on to
I've been over the Beverly Hillbillies for months, man. I just it PTI, became too much.
It's a great show.
So I think I do like PTI. It plays every day at 4 o'clock. So shut up. I got confused in my words.
Curb Your Enthusiasm. 20 years later, this guy. Are you starting from
the beginning? Have you watched it all?
Of course I watched it. It's like it's one of the greatest TV shows of all time, one of the greatest sitcoms. Not as good as Seinfeld, I will say. Nothing will ever be as good
close,
as Seinfeld.
Close, man. It's but close.
It's in the conversation. The earlier
J.B. Smooth's, what's his name? J.B. Smooth's character, what's his name? Something Black?
Oh, he's the best. Gosh.
He's so funny.
Leon.
Leon Black?
Leon
Black is Leon. The man. Leon Black is the man, dog. He's the man. I love that show. I love it.
Well, that warmed my heart. When you said that, you know, I felt like you wanted to maybe get a little closer to Jewish culture because of you.
I actually started. I asked somebody. I asked Brad Slater. I go, hey, do most Jewish guys act like Larry David? Ariel does. We both said, I said, Ariel does. He goes, Ariel does. He acts the same. Like,
yeah, I'll take that. It.
You guys both, you act like that. Very weird.
DC, we've been doing this show for almost an hour. Oh, actually, a little bit over an hour. Still not as long as it took for Nevada to figure out the replay
Saturday night. Goodness.
Still not as long. Could you believe that?
Bro, Did you see that? Like, holy, that was crazy. And then, well, so the, one of the issues for me is, right, and I had to, like, really be careful with the way I talk about these commentators because I said something about Sergio Mora and Joe Tessitore once, and they just went crazy on me. You remember that?
I remember that.
Everybody got all mad. Like, I'm just trying to tell you the truth. Like, if you, I should be telling you. I mean, I do it. Nah, I don't mind taking criticism. But Tim Bradley and Joe Tessitore were so mad. They were so mad. And I'm watching it, and there were times where they kind of came together. Doesn't look like it was the headbutt that caused the cut. But you knew, right? You knew. Dealing with Nevada all these years, there was no way they were going to change that. It was like, we could have saved 30 minutes because there was no way they were going to change that. It was like, everybody's upset, but you know that call wasn't getting changed, and ultimately it didn't get changed. And the one that was being reasonable was Dre, right? Andre Ward was like, guys, let's just wait till we get a decision, right? Because he can feel it. He can feel it in his bones. Andre Ward's so, like, in tune with boxing that his spidey sense might have been, like, tingling, like, this ain't getting changed. So if we go so far left, we're going to look like idiots when they don't change his call. So he was kind of, like, trying to bring Bradley and Tessitore back a little bit, and eventually – call wouldn't change. Could you imagine your boy Atlas on there? They would have never went off air. Teddy Atlas would have been talking to him like 4 a.m. if he was doing it.
That would have been amazing. I feel bad for that kid Maloney, but shout out to Terrence Crawford, another great performance. Hopefully we get to see him fight either
Errol Spence. Terrence Crawford. Pacquiao. Terrence Crawford's sons, fantastic wrestlers. You would not believe how good his kids are as wrestlers. They've got a great little club out of Omaha. We see them on the national scene for our youth. T-Bud has some little boys that are insane wrestlers. Wow. And listen, Crawford himself was a good little wrestler when he was growing up. And that was another classic Terrence Crawford performance on Saturday. The right hook didn't look that bad until you watch it in slow motion and he just starts Kell Brook.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We're out of time, DC.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it flies by. It really does. We got to wait a whole 7 days.
By the time
we talk next week, James Harden will be a net. Who knows what will be going on with you?
I'll be rooting for the Nets, too.
Yeah, sure you
James Harden goes to the Nets. I'm out. If the Houston Rockets trade James Harden, I'm out, dog. I'm out.
Okay.
I'm out. Like, I'm not rooting for the Rockets. If the Rockets trade James Harden and Russell Westbrook in the span of a month, I'm out, Ariel. It's over. Like, nobody does that. And also, Daryl Morey, I can't stand you. Like, I can't stand you. Daryl Morey, you actually screwed us so bad. Like, you got rid of everything. We have no draft picks. We have no draft picks and no tradable assets. Like, what in the world did this dude do to us, man? Like, come on, man. Analytics. Hey, just building a team off of analytics.
I know.
You know he created this? He created analytics? This dude, like, made up this whole analytic approach to basketball, and now we stuck with no draft picks. Or players to trade or bring people in. Like, Daryl Morey screwed us, man.
I'd almost feel bad for you, but the way in which you started today's show makes me never want to feel bad for you. All right. So on that note, safe travels to Las Vegas, UFC 255. I look forward to you being on the call, getting me on the broadcast. You can mention me. You can put my tweet. It doesn't matter. Just make it happen, my man. And
the Texans traded DeAndre Hopkins.
And thank you.
What they got going on in Texas in terms of upper management? This is crazy.
Thank you to Manscaped. Thanks to all of you. Thanks to everyone who continues to rate, download, subscribe, and review to the program. Back next week, same time and place. Until then, we say peace. We're out of here.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.